Good morning. Once again, I have an opportunity to share from God's Word. What a privilege, what a responsibility to stand in the pulpit and open God's Word and know that He speaks and He speaks mightily. I'm thankful that He has allowed me to be part of what He is doing. I'm thankful that He has called me into the ministry. I'm thankful that I have an opportunity to share with you this morning as part of your church, as you partner with us in Ecuador, South America. As a missionary, I have an opportunity to share the gospel in many different settings and in many different areas. As a missionary, I have the opportunity to see young men and young women step forward in a call into ministry to join alongside of me as we see God working in our lives. Right now, I am having the privilege of serving as the pastor of the Apatug Baptist Church. Apatug is a church that started 25 years ago. It's an Indian community at the top of the mountain. It's a beautiful place, it's a beautiful setting, wonderful people. People that are excited about hearing God's Word. And one of the things we have had the privilege of doing over these last few months is go down and go through different book studies. And this morning I would like for us to look at in Titus, this letter that was written. And this is one of these things that we have been going through in Apatug. And as we have gone through with a purpose of seeing how God calls out those that would lead, those that would be called unto His service. What we find is we have the author of this letter introducing himself not only to the church there, but also to us this morning. So if you'd follow with me, we're going to read from Titus chapter 1. If you'd stand with me as we read from God's Word, we're going to read just those first three verses. Titus 1, verses 1 through 3. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before the time began, but has in due time manifested His word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, help us as we read from Your Word, that we might study Your Word and understand Your Word and apply Your Word into our daily lives. Thank You for the richness that You've given us. Being Your children, we have an inheritance. Help us to be diligent to listen to You this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As Paul begins this letter, he identifies himself in several terms that I just want us to look at briefly. He first of all says, Paul, a bondservant of God. On other occasions, he used the term a bondservant of Jesus Christ, but here he says a bondservant of God. He was identifying himself from Old Testament days as the prophets of old were bondservants of God, and he identifies himself with a specific term, bondservant. As we have looked at this and we have been analyzing this within our church, many of the people there understand what it is to be dominated and be under oppression. And so as we have looked at this terminology of being a bondservant, we had to understand, and I would like for us just to understand this morning, the importance of being bondservants of Jesus Christ. You see, as God calls us out, and as Paul says, a bondservant of God here, he is referring to a term that means that he has voluntarily put himself under subjection. You see, Paul found himself, first of all, as a very diligent follower of a religion. He was a very diligent and a very faithful follower of a teaching. He was an Israelite of the Israelites. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And in his diligence, he many times was in opposition to God himself. And what he found himself, he had to understand that he was lost and was in a condition that did not lead him to eternal life. And as God spoke to him on that road to Damascus, God showed him in unspeakable terms, he showed him his need for a Savior. Now, as he came to know Christ Jesus, his personal Lord and Savior, he received a freedom from sin. It's that same freedom that I expressed when Jesus Christ came into my life. First of all, he had to convict me and make me understand that I was a sinner. I am still a sinner and in great need of walking with the Savior. But you see, I couldn't walk with a Savior until I came to know the Savior. And Paul identifies himself with us, saying, I too came to a point of understanding that I was under bondage of sin, and I was lost and hopeless without the Savior. Now that hopeless nature is answered by the grace of our Father, who through His grace and mercy has sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to give us eternal life. And when Paul came to know that truth, as I have come and as many of you have come to know the truth of the Savior, we received a freedom that is indescribable, a freedom above all things. God saved us and gave us a free man status. We were bought out of the slavery of sin. We were purchased out of the household of Satan. Now we are part of the household of God, and we have been adopted. We are newborn. We are these creatures that God wants to develop and to reveal to the world His glory. What a wonderful opportunity to understand that we have been made free. But in this terminology, when he says a bond slave, a bond servant, he is making reference to a time in which many of the slaves that would either buy their freedom or have their freedom bought for them would voluntarily put themselves back into subjection of the one whom they served. And you see, as we become free in Christ Jesus, that freedom gives us that wonderful desire that God plants in our heart to serve Him and serve Him only. And voluntarily we walk back into a bond slave relationship with God. You see, He gives us that freedom by purchasing us from our sin. He gives us the cleansing that we need in order to stand in His presence, because the Holy of Holies is there. And we find ourselves as sinners unable to get in, but because we are washed by the blood of the Lamb, we can stand in the presence of God. And He gives us that freedom. And that freedom came to Paul, and Paul realized his need to once again be subject to the one who purchased his freedom. I've come to that place in my life. I pray that you've come to that place in your life of being able to say, I too, because of the freedom I have in Christ Jesus, want to willfully serve the rest of my days here on earth, serving the only one who had the power to give me freedom. And so I give myself back to Him. Now, when the bond slaves were given their freedom, they came back to their owner. They were marked and they were made free, but they had a mark. You see, back during that day, some of the things that I've read about those that walked as free men, former slaves, but now free, would carry their papers with them in order to show others, because many times they were identified immediately as a slave and they would have to show their freedom papers. But you know, when we walk back into Christ Jesus and we say we want to serve freely, we turn back our freedom to Him. We say, I want to serve you and serve you alone. And Paul came to that point in his life, and he identifies himself in those terms as he talks to these people, as he is writing to his son in the faith here, Titus, and he says to him, Paul, a bondservant of God. It gives me a great respect for this man, and also gives me a great challenge, because I understand is that I walk in the path that it is God who called me. It is God who saved me. It is God who has placed His hand upon me. In this next part, it says, and he identifies himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He is one sent as I am one sent. You see, as Paul went out, he walked with the authority given to him by the word, by God Himself, through Jesus who spoke to him on the road to Damascus. As Jesus walked with him in that desert time, as Jesus prepared him for ministry, God spoke to him in a powerful way and put on him an authority to speak with all authority. But that authority also came bringing to him a responsibility. A responsibility to be a faithful servant in all things and in all times. As I go out, as one sent out also by your church, you hold me accountable to be a preacher of the gospel. With that responsibility, I stand and know that God has called me to be His servant. If you would look with me, please, we're going to look at a passage that's in 1 Timothy 1:12. In 1 Timothy 1:12, I understand exactly how I came into a place of ministry and how others that are called to serve alongside of us there in Ecuador, as well as here in the United States, how we are called into His service. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. You see, I know that it is because of him that he has enabled me to be able to stand this morning. It is because of him he has enabled me to stand in front of others in Ecuador and proclaim the gospel. But he holds me accountable, and as he finds us faithful, he allows us to serve him in the way that is pleasing unto him. He puts us into the ministry. Many of you that have served in different areas in your local church, in this area, serving right here, understand what it means to be put into ministry. God calls and places on our heart a desire, a need, and he pushes us forward, but he enables us to do the task. I know that I am unable to do the task. If it were not for him guiding and giving me words to speak, I am enabled. And as we go into the mission field, whether you go as volunteers or as Carol and I have gone in full-time service, serving there in Ecuador, it is because of his enabling and that call that he put us in ministry that we have this responsibility as well as the privilege, just like Paul, to speak with the authority of the word, because the word preaches itself. And when we speak the word of God, we speak with all authority. Let's look again here in Titus. As he goes on, he says that not only is he a bondservant and an apostle of Christ Jesus, he does all things according to the faith of God's elect in the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness. As I look at what the church is called to do, the church is called to walk in godliness and according to that faith which all of us as his elect must demonstrate. You see, faith without works is dead, and we understand that because we are his and because we walk in him, we will produce fruit. Within our churches in Ecuador today, many, many things are happening because God's people, those elect, are walking by their faith, and they are walking in such a way that others can see their godly nature, not just by word, but also by deed. How important it is for us to walk daily in that which he has called us to do. It is very easy to speak the words. In Spanish, there's a saying that says, hay mucho trecho entre el dicho y el hecho. And that just means there's a great gap between saying it and doing it. Isn't that true? It is so easy for people to sit in a church service and proclaim that he is our Lord and our God and that we will serve him. It is a different thing when we walk out into the world. But we must, as God's people, stand strong and walk with authority, preach with authority, speak with the authority that's backed up by our faith in action. As Paul wrote to Titus, he wanted to remind him, I speak to you with authority and I speak to you as your teacher. But I speak to you with the authority of the word. You must live out your faith. Men and women walking in Christ Jesus today in Ecuador are standing in the gap for many others that still do not know him. And they're standing saying, we will preach the gospel until Christ Jesus comes again. This morning in many pulpits, men are standing and proclaiming the word. And I know that in Apatug, that I have a faithful friend, a pastor of a local church, that is taking my place there to preach the gospel in that community of Apatug. We have men and women in that community that are standing strong in the midst of great persecution. It's a hard thing to understand that persecution still exists in our world today, but it most certainly does. We see it all over the news today, don't we? Men and women that are being accused and being held accountable because they stand for Christ Jesus. Some of those are very, very vocal and very prominent in our newscasts, and other things we don't ever hear about. Sometimes we don't think about having persecution in South America, maybe in a country like Ecuador that is free, that we have the liberty to preach the gospel, and yet there is persecution, and the persecution many times comes from those who claim to be of Christ himself. But they are very jealous, and they're very zealous, but they are very wrong. People in Apatug have learned to stand for their faith, and they stand with the authority of the Word of God, and they preach openly. You see, our mandate, as Paul continues to write to his son in the faith, if we look in chapter 2, verse 1, He gives them a mandate of speaking the truth. He says, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. You see, in that first verse of chapter 1, he told him that we have to do it with the elect in the acknowledgement of the truth. If we speak anything but the truth of the doctrine of Jesus Christ, we are wasting our time and we are not obeying Scripture. As I stand before the people there and preach the truth of the gospel, I must preach sound doctrine. There are many false doctrines in the world today, many people that are teaching things that have nothing to do with the word that we have in our hands. They preach a prosperity gospel, a cheapened gospel, an easy gospel. Come and be saved and you don't have to worry about anything else in your life. Well, I'm going to tell you what I read here is that as we are saved, we are called to a responsibility of service and living godly lives. Look what it says in chapter 3 and verse 8 as we are looking here in Titus. As we look in chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. As we are called out, as we are given that opportunity to serve as bondservants of Jesus Christ, we are also called out to speak in sound doctrine, and we are spoken to here in this verse that we are to produce good works. You see, good works will prove who we belong to. Many claim to know Christ Jesus, and yet their works show that they don't know Him. Oh, that a church would live its life letting others see who we are by what we do, letting us be able to proclaim the gospel and have others listen to what we have to say that comes from the doctrine of what we are preaching because of the right walk that we demonstrate before them day by day. Many profess, and yet they deny by their own actions. In chapter 1, verse 16, here's what it says. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Oh, that would never be the commentary that's made about our church, the Church of Jesus Christ. Neither here at Morning View nor in the churches of Ecuador. Let us be the church that gives forth good works and lets others see Christ living in us. We must really serve. And we need to have good examples. In the community of Apatdug, one of the areas that I would ask for you to pray for us on a daily basis is that God would call out a pastor from that fellowship there at the Apatdug Baptist Church. It's called Kurisisa, the golden flower. And in the golden flower today, as they meet, God is working on several of the men of their church to serve as elders and pastors of the local church, and to serve alongside of many other pastors in the area to reach out with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, into new Quechua-speaking communities. But you see, today, talking about right now, these men are looking forward to a time of service, but they don't feel adequately prepared. And they are afraid to stand in the pulpit. They will stand in a small group and give a Bible study, and they do very well. And yet when they are talked about standing and preaching the gospel, they feel very unworthy. And yet in these months, they're stepping forward saying, I know that God has called me into a preaching ministry. I know that God has called me into a ministry to reach out and pastor the flock of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to mention some names to you. And if you would, if you'd mind, don't mind just jotting them down. If you would pray for Benedicto. If you would pray for Juan. If you would pray for Segundo. These three men have stepped forward saying we want to accept the challenge that God has placed on our life. Benedicto, Juan, and Segundo. Now, Benedicto was the first Christian in his community. 25 years ago, through severe persecution, he came to know Christ Jesus. And the firmness of his faith is evident by his walk and by his testimony. 25 years he's walked with the Lord, and just recently he's realized God has His hand upon me and He has called me and I'm standing forward to serve Him. Juan is a man who came to know Christ about 15 years ago. I had the privilege of seeing him come to know the Lord when I became pastor at the church just a few months ago. Juan stood and said, Brother Steve, it is such a privilege for me to have you as my pastor. You saw me come to know the Lord, you baptized me. You married me, and you've been here for the dedication of my children. and now you are my pastor. Do you think that puts a responsibility on me? As I now serve alongside of a young man who wants to serve and wants to be part of what God is doing, not only in his community, but in many communities all around. And he understands that he has been given an authority because God has put him in the ministry. And he's in a place of preparation. Juan has a little bit of a problem speaking. He has a little bit of a stutter. He speaks a little bit slurred. Oh boy, but does he love the Lord. Do you think that's going to hinder him from preaching the gospel? Not a bit. Because you see, every time he speaks, he does speak with authority because his life preaches forth that he believes in the Savior. His life preaches the gospel because when he speaks only the sound doctrine that he finds here. He has a family that's under subjection to God himself. He has a wife who loves the Lord and children who are growing up and being nurtured in their faith. Two of his kids are the leaders, one of the youth. And as Norma stands and she works with the young people, she stands with authority because she too knows Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. It is his son, who is 11 years old, named Moises, who has stood and talked to me saying, I feel called to be the next pastor of this church. An 11-year-old. With a vision of serving the Lord. You see, these are the quality of people that we have. Segundo is a young man who came to know the Lord, and because of severe persecution that cost him his job, because he stood on his principles of faith, lost his job, and his family suffered a lot of persecution. And yet today, God has given him a better job, not a job of prosperity, a job of faithfulness. And God has placed on his heart a call to serve within the local church. As I look at these three men, I see three characteristics. One who is a powerful, powerful speaker, Benedicto. One who is a powerful testimony, Juan. One who just has the joy of encouragement, Segundo. Won't those be great characteristics for the three principal leaders of a church that wants to proclaim the gospel in new communities? You see, God is drawing together his own. But what he's saying through our scripture here in Titus, as we are called out as bondservants, God places us in ministry in places that please him. It is he who calls. It is he who sends out. The fields belong to him. The harvest belongs to him. We have the privilege of preaching and scattering the seed, and it will produce fruit, and it will produce abundant fruit. I challenge you as a church to be faithful to God's call upon your lives. I would like for you to look at what your call is as he has placed you as bondservants, because you willingly give your life back to Christ Jesus, who purchased your freedom. I ask for you as a church to be people that would be proclaimers of the word being sent out. And as you are being sent out, to be those that are sent out with a good testimony of good works and proclaiming only the soundness of the gospel. Come and join us. Join us through your prayers, through your giving, through your coming and just joining us and seeing what God is doing. Oh, that we might be a people that would join God and be a part of what he is doing. Ecuador is one of those places that you can do that. If God leads you to serve in missions, answer the call. If God calls you out and says, I want to place you in a ministry, don't be afraid to step forward. Some of you may be thinking, well, God surely couldn't use me. Well, let me just tell you, I know that Paul expressed, and I can express in the same terms, oh, how unworthy we are. And yet he places his hand upon us. And he gives us an opportunity that's beyond imagination to stand and serve and preach forth the truth of the gospel. Thank you, church, for your faithfulness. Continue to be faithful. Join God where he's working. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness, your kindness, and your mercy. Help us that we would understand that we have been bought with a price and that we have freedom because of Christ Jesus. Thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. Oh, but Lord, I want to give my heart and my life totally and completely, wholly, over to you again. I want to serve you with everything that I am and everything that I have. I want you to take this worthless vessel and just make something that will glorify you. I pray that there would be many from this church that would stand along with me, declaring that we want to be used by you. Lord God, let the words of our mouth be a proclamation of the truth of the doctrine that you have given us so clearly in your word. The good news, the gospel message, that it never be adulterated or violated, that we might preach it completely, that we might teach it in truth. I pray that you would let us back up that which we say with godly lives, living in such a way that others would see Christ Jesus living and reflected in us. Thank you. Thank you so much, God, for taking time to touch us and speak to us. May we listen and may we respond. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.